2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tuesday, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us, make sure you do so. Go to the website. Use the promo code PODCAST. They'll get you 20% off each month of your subscription. Basically, it comes down to $16 a month. With that, you get 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business where you can chat with me, Keith, Kevin, Taco, who's got a brand new golf podcast out, by the way. Make sure you check that out. You also get Boomer's Ballers cheat sheets, breaking down the position each day, updated VIP projections, which go through 1,000 simulations each day. And of course, the Domination Station, which is perfect for all you 9-to-5ers out there that don't have time to do research throughout the day, can build up to 150 lineups for you to mass multi-enter into all your different contests. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. As always, joined by Keith Hall, coming in from the great state of Oklahoma. You can find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. So, Keith, today is the debut of the new Yeti Blue microphone. And I sent you a picture of what I have to use here as a sort of a knockoff sort of boom sort of situation here. But, hey, you know, when in Rome, right?
Yeah, exactly. I have yet to order my professional podcasting mic. I'm on a gaming headset, as I've been for the last 2 years. And it's worked quite well, but you know, as we grow, and that we are doing, we need to invest into the pod to make it better. And that is one way that we are going to be doing that, trying to get Kevin to go ahead and, you know, cover the expenses. But, you know, that I got to pick and choose my battles with him. He doesn't listen to the pod anyway, so we can talk about him sometimes. So,
okay.
I do have to throw this out there. I apologize for yesterday profusely. We got halfway through the pod, and I get a text message that my stepmother-in-law is at my door.
evidently, something I've never had to worry about. But yes, go on.
Evidently, she had that planned for like 5 or 6 days, and it didn't work out. I was not notified by my lovely wife, who, again, doesn't listen, so I can talk about her. It was just kind of one of those things. Get halfway through, and then all of a sudden. So we do have some announcements to make regarding baseball, though, that we really made on yesterday's pod, but now we're going to be making them on today's pod.
All right.
The first thing is that the salaries and everything have been released for FanDuel and DraftKings. There is a couple major changes. Obviously, one we have talked about on the podcast for FanDuel. The other one is they have decided to incorporate late swap into their FanDuel baseball product. Now, it is an option. You can play either the late swap tournaments or the non-late swap tournaments. Personally, I don't like this. It's bad enough worrying about one site for late swap for baseball. It is not something that I personally like. Especially since it looks like a lot of the major tournaments for opening day are non-late swap, are late swap. I liked having a difference between the two sites. I don't like having to worry about late swap, and my wife doesn't like me having to worry about late swap because, you know, she liked having me around at night during the basketball season. She can now kiss that one goodbye, unfortunately.
See ya.
So I don't like this. I do like the fact that they are offering both non-late swap and late swap. You know, if you're going to do that, at least make the tournament sizes about the same size. And don't tell me that they won't fill if there's a non-late swap and a late swap tournament of the same size.
Al, there's enough degenerates all over the joint.
Yeah, I'm guessing that if they threw out a $175,000 grand slam for a non-late swap tournament, it would probably fill just as fast, if not quicker, than the $175 grand slam for a late swap. Am I wrong?
You are correct, sir. I mean, okay. you are correct about not being wrong. So
okay, because here's the deal: is in my opinion, we have to worry about it for DraftKings already. Now I have to worry about it for both sites, which means that if I'm going to do it, I'm going to play whichever side I'm hot on, and I'm not going to play on both. So I don't know. It's just my own personal preference. I get why they're doing it. I understand it. But at least give us the bigger tournaments in the non-late swap category as you do in the late swap. Because, you know, unlike NBA, not everybody bitches about late swap in MLB because it's used more as a strategic method than it is a non-strategical method and a necessity. That's one thing. The second thing is we are generating our new lineup page with a bunch of the stuff that we are going to be doing. Opening day is a week from yesterday. Okay, we are
six
not
days.
6 days now. We are not going to have. We'll answer questions on that Sunday. It is my son's birthday, so
I will be.
No, he can't even walk yet. He's getting there, but he can't walk yet. Bicycle right. will probably be, you know, year two.
You just look at his planning for the future.
Oh, I know, right? Well, Chop's already planning for him to be 12 years old, so.
Okay.
So that's, we won't have a lot of, you know, content on Sunday, obviously, because it's a Sunday. And Sundays in MLB, even though it's opening day, Sundays in MLB are kind of a little, you know, wonky anyways. We will have a bunch of stuff out Sunday night rolling into Monday morning. We will answer questions all the way up until lock on Monday morning. And I will be updating the new DFS Army lineups page from the bar probably on on Monday during the day. Because me and my buddies, we all gather around on opening day and we go to the bar and we just spend the day. So it's a lot of fun.
Now, so we're going to have MLB lineups on the DFS Army page.
Yes, that was part of what my goal was to get built last night. Unfortunately, I had a needy son who was getting his butt kicked by allergies. And so that it just... By the time my wife got home from work and by the time that we got everything settled, it was 10 o'clock. And then the next thing I know, it was 7:30 in the morning.
My goodness.
So.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in real quick with the late swapped. I absolutely hate it because, look, I've always been playing on FanDuel. I play on Fantasy Draft as well. I don't really play so much on DraftKings unless there's, you know, a big tournament that I absolutely have to get into. But I mean, look, this is the way I've always rolled without doing late slops. So, yeah, I kind of look, I mean, I pay attention throughout the day. So I like to have that leg up on somebody who might just, you know, throw a guy in the lineup, not knowing if it's a lefty or lefty situation. And, you know, that guy might not play on that given night. So, you know, I'm on top of all these, you know, for me, baseball is the only game in town over the summer. So, you know, as opposed to outdoor drinking, too, but still. Yeah, you know, it's the only fantasy sport that I have to worry about. So I'm not happy about the late swap at all. I think we're catering to the masses in this one. More millennial complaints, and I don't like it. And I'm just gonna go on with this NBA podcast with a glove with a hole cut in it in the microphone, and I'm just gonna try to act like I didn't even hear that news yesterday.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things. As the street sweeper decides it wants to park outside my house, as the guy is drinking his coffee, douchebag.
Good for him.
I hope nobody can hear that, but
I did.
You know, it's just it's kind of one of those things. I liked change is not always good. And FanDuel's baseball product 2 years ago, besides the fact that, you know, they gave you basically 4 points for the win, which is a complete unpredictable stat whatsoever. You know, it's it was fantastic 2 years ago. You know, you were penalized for making an out. Like I firmly believe like FanDuel is abruptly trying to maybe not, you know, maybe they don't think they are, but I think that they're ruining their baseball product. I really honestly do. I liked the fact that, you know, you didn't have to bank on home runs to win a tournament. I liked the fact that if you were sitting in second place at the end of the night and you were done and a guy had, you know, Buster Posey ahead of you and you were 2 points behind, you could literally take over first place by Buster Posey going 0-for-4. Now there's no, you know, and we talked about this a lot last year. Now there's no, you know, penalty for you making an out. And I don't believe that is something that should be done. I you know, on DraftKings, pitchers get penalized for giving up walks and hits, and I think that's good. I like that. On FanDuel, they should be penalized for, you know, making an out. You know, now they're just, there's no, it just, anyways.
Yeah,
that's our high horse today. I firmly believe I could make a better product of MLB DFS than FanDuel does right now, currently. And one of those is taking away late slot. So
yeah. All right. Yeah. Great. Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful. Glad to see everybody's here. All right. So on tonight's slate, we've got 8 games on the docket, including a massive battle out west for the last playoff spot there in the Western Conference. Great game going to go down between the Nuggets and the Trailblazers. But, of course, game of the day, Golden State at the Houston Rockets. We will get there eventually, but let's start out east where we take it to the Queen City. Milwaukee Bucks at the Charlotte Hornets in this one. You got got the wrong game first, of course. Hornets -3. Favorites in this one, -150 on the money line. Over-under is at 203.5 for this one. Both teams are on the front end of a back-to-back. Milwaukee at Boston tomorrow. The Hornets at Toronto. Hornets won the only meeting this season between the two teams. That was an 11-point win in Milwaukee. Hornets are 6-2 against the Bucks in their last 8 meetings, only covering 4 of those 8 games, though. Injury news for the Bucks: Michael Beasley, John Henson gonna be out for this one. Of course, Jabari Parker gone for the season. And then Ramon Sessions, he's been out for a while with a meniscus tear. He is questionable. He's been cleared to play, but the Hornets are still
A
little reluctant to put him in there. Let's start with the Greek Freaks of Milwaukee. I'm sure he's gonna be pretty highly touted in this one. So are you going to the Greek, or you like anyone else on Milwaukee?
Again, we go back to that old saying, you know, Harden and Giannis on the same damn slate again.
Very true.
It seems like it's been all year. It's been like a handful of times where it hasn't happened. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Giannis. He's kind of cooled off a little bit lately. He hasn't been that, you know, dominant force that he was early in the year. I think
Friday happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No kidding. But it's not as consistent as it once was. So, and then you've got, but you know, you're sitting there and you're thinking about it. Okay, I can get Giannis with 60-point upside for 10-3, or I can go with James Harden against Golden State with a bum wrist for 12-5. You give me one of the two, I'm going to probably go Giannis more times than not. It's not like this is a bad matchup, but it's not as high profile of a matchup. I think my top play in this game though is Chris Middleton and maybe some Greg Monroe. It's not that I don't like Giannis. It's just that the way that I've built my rosters right now, Giannis isn't making it into a lot of them on FanDuel. Now on DraftKings, he's sitting at 50 lineups, he is currently sitting at I think 5%. Hold on. Actually, he is not. He is sitting at a combined 0.00% on DraftKings. But that's just the initial lineups that the Domination Station on the initial upload has run. You know, there's nothing concrete in that, obviously. I mean, he's all right. Like I said, I think I like Chris Middleton a little bit more today. Just because of, you know, obviously he doesn't need to do as much, and it's a little bit better matchup. I don't like picking on, if you give me the choice between picking on Michael Kidd-Gilchrist or Nick Batum, I'm going to pick on Michael Kidd-Gilchrist a little bit more. You know, Middleton's still not super expensive. He's right there in that mid-range, and that's kind of where I'm trying to sit. And there's just a couple other shooting guards I like just a wee bit better.
All right. Yeah, with the Antetokounmpo, he's got the very traditional point guard, small forward combo that he could use for him on DraftKings there. Pretty interesting to see that. Look, I'm sure that's been there the whole time. I don't look at DraftKings, so allow me to be amazed for a second.
There, my friend.
Yeah, I really don't have too much interest in the Bucks here. Look, outside of Antetokounmpo, that's probably where I would go if I'm going with the Bucks. But other than that, you know, this Hornets team, they're somehow trying to scratch and claw, try to get themselves into that last playoff spot there in the East. I know the Bucks are as well, but you know, we have seen the Hornets play some fantastic D at times this season. And I think, you know, the Hornets have enough capable pieces to deal with Antetokounmpo tonight. So I might have just talked myself out of them right there.
I like what you have done there, my friend. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
All right. What about the Hornets here? We've got some capable pieces. We know they have been good against point guards this season, but you know, Kemba Walker, Nicholas Batum, probably the main options here. Can't forget about Cody Zeller, who's had some profitable games.
Ding ding ding.
At a very cheap salary. $5,300 there on FanDuel. If you can get a price check for me on DraftKings, that'd be fantastic. But I mean, look, if we're talking about FanDuel, I mean, he's posted at least 29 points here in four of the last five games. Some of those totals, which you might be interested in, 34.4, 36.7, 29.2, and a 37, all wonderful 6x to 7x value there for his price. So
Zeller is 53 on DraftKings.
Okay, both same on both sites there. Nice. So, yeah, I mean, look, we're trying to find some value here, of course, with the Hardens and the, you know, all the Golden State guys tonight. We got, you know, the Blazers and the Nuggets going on here tonight. So Cody Zeller could definitely be a nice value option there that could pay off multiple times.
Yep. I like Zeller. He's probably my main target. Probably going to stay away from Kemba. One, he hasn't shown any upside lately. Not that I don't like Kemba Walker. I really do. Had the abilities to watch him kind of play when he was, you know, here in town playing against the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. So I don't mind it. I just really, 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 really don't like picking on point guards against the Milwaukee Bucks here.
All right, that does it, I guess, for this one. Any interest before we move on?
No, I think Frank the Tank is a little bit interesting here. He has been playing a lot better lately, even with the return of Cody Zeller. And it's, as of right now, it's kind of looking like that might be a very, very good way to go. Especially because of the fact that you've got, he's 5,200, but you've got the slates split up on DraftKings. So, you've only got the first six games on the first slate, and then you've got, you know, they've split up the late slate again, which I guess I'm just a curmudgeon because I really don't like this move either by DraftKings, but I understand it, especially later on in the season, but at least offer, you know, the full slate as well. Give us some options. Don't make us choose. He had been playing better up until two games ago against Cleveland, and he was 0 for 9 against Cleveland from the field and 3 for 11. So maybe a nice little bounce back spot. He's not going to shoot 27% from the field every game, so I don't mind him in tournaments as well.
I'm going to laugh if he shoots that percentage from the field today.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I would laugh too.
All right, next one up on the docket, we've got the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Indiana Pacers. Pacers, 4-point favorites here, -175 on the money line, 207.5 is our total in this game. For all sorts of fun information, the Pacers have won the only meeting between the two teams this season, 6-point win in Minnesota for them. Pacers are 4-1 against the Timberwolves in their last five meetings, covering 3 of the 5. If we're looking at injuries here, of course, Nemanja Bjelica and Zach LaVine out for the season for the Timberwolves, and then for the Pacers, Al Jefferson and Glenn Robinson III, both out with their respective ailments. Rodney Stuckey even questionable tonight with a knee injury. If we're looking at numbers here, I'm sorry, not numbers. We're looking at the injuries here. I guess we could start here with the Pacers because those injuries kind of have some, more of an impact on, some of the players that we would use. Of course, Paul George, Jeff Teague, these guys both look great. I like Paul George's matchup tonight. Whoever goes up against him, really not going to have much of a chance. So looking at the Stuckey thing too, I guess that could be good for CJ Miles, Monta Ellis, for some decent value there. Any interest in those guys?
No. Ooh. I don't like playing them. Shooting guard's too loaded for me tonight. Like, I just have no interest in playing those guys at all. So I'll just make that analysis short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah. And, all right, so That was Ellis, CJ Miles, but any interest there in the Paul George, Jeff Teague, possibly a Miles Turner? I feel like I'm forcing Pacers on you right now, and you don't like it. You're rejecting me.
Yes, you are. I actually don't mind Miles Turner going against the combo of Karl Anthony Towns and Gorgeous Dong, but in retrospect, I also really, really like those guys a lot better.
Yeah, let's just talk about them then.
centers against Pacers is, something that we've been kind of targeting all season long, and tonight's going to be no different whatsoever. So, I don't know. I'm not too thrilled about a lot of plays in this game. It's mostly honestly on the Indiana side. I just don't know if I like it. They just don't. I don't know. It's just,
come on, come say it. Spit it out.
I don't know how to spit it out, but like,
you could be mean to them. They don't listen all the time.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, are you really excited about rostering any of these guys?
I am. I do have some interest. I mean, look, Paul George again. If we're gonna get George up against Wiggins or whoever the hell Minnesota can throw out there.
You name me anybody on the Indiana Pacers, and I can name you somebody that's in a better spot.
Paul George.
Okay, so at the small forward position, we have Wilson Chandler.
Everybody's back.
Robert Covington. Chris Middleton.
Why? Because he's playing the Nets, you jerk.
Danilo Gallinari. Andre Iguodala. I mean, that's what I'm saying is when you're talking about FanDuel, okay, and you're talking about having those late options as well, yeah, you're talking about they're not your number one, two, or three options on anything. Now, if you want to go to DraftKings, then we could start to make some arguments here. Paul George would be your probably third option in the, you know, the standard slate with the early. I think right behind Robert Covington and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And very, very close right in there with Nicholas Batum or TJ Warren. So there's not as many options right there. But when you're talking FanDuel and you have, you know, all eight games, I don't think that they're in your top, you know, three on any of them. And that's just me.
All right.
So.
All right. Well, I didn't even think about this. So the Timberwolves are actually going to be on, two full days rest here going into this game as they make the traditional trip from Portland to Indiana. Great job by the NBA schedule makers there. But one guy that's been pretty good over these last couple of games, besides Andrew Wiggins, we'll get to him in a little bit, but Gorgui Dieng has posted some pretty decent totals here. Three of the last four games, 26.3, a 30.7, and a 36.4. I mean, look, you said we've been able to attack the Indiana front line many times this season. So, Dieng, only 5,100 there on FanDuel, on DraftKings. He is whatever he is. I don't know what the price is, but 5,500. So, of course, on FanDuel, I'm going to have more interest. But, again, whether it's going to be Thad Young, whether it's going to be Miles Turner, I don't think they're going to have too easy of a time there.
Yeah, I can see that. I can agree with that. I think that Miles Turner being in that five spot, whether it be going up against Gorgeous Dong or Karl Anthony Towns, is good as long as we get the favorable matchup of the two. I would prefer him going against Towns, obviously, but it's not like, you know, even though Gorgui Dieng is a lot better defender than Karl Anthony is, I don't mind him being one of those like little sneaky plays because he never, ever, ever goes highly owned unless it's like a really, really short slate. So.
Yes. Yeah, he actually had a decent ownership there on Saturday. I played him there against the Blazers. That was the one where he had the 36.4, but you know, his time even got kind of cut short there by the blowout in that game as well. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what he could do. I believe Fantasy Labs will have something in their article today, as they always do when Dieng is on the road, but he's been a much better road player than he has been at home too. So keep that in mind. All right. Anything else here before we move along?
No. I'm not going to. I know Ricky Rubio is going to be a hot topic of conversation a little bit later, but I'm not going there.
Fair enough. All right. Let's move it along. We have got the Miami Heat at the ever so collapsing Detroit Pistons tonight. Miami 2.5 point favorites here, -145 on the money line. A total of that started at 204 has now dropped to 200.5. In this game, we will see for the injuries here, Deion Waiters going to be out with the ankle injury. For the Pistons, Reggie Bullock out with the foot injury. And then Michael Gbinji, questionable with the ankle injury. By the way, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, and any of you Pistons fans, I'm talking to you, Sparty. If I'm pronouncing this wrong, let me know. Let me know. I'm too lazy to look it up on Google. All right, Pistons lead the season series here. They won the first two matchups against the Heat before the Heat took the third one. I have a feeling they're going to be taking this one here, too. Heat are on the front end of a back-to-back. They are in New York tomorrow, while the Pistons are on the back end of a back-to-back, where they are 3-11, both outright and against the spread this season. I heard this awesome quote here from Goran Dragic the other day. So this is in terms of, you know, kind of how the Heat have been struggling recently without Deion Waiters. He says it's different. It's very different. You can see we don't have the second ball handler who can get inside the paint and create for the others. Right now, every time we play pick and roll, they kind of switch or they kind of blitz me, and it's hard. There's no rhythm right now for me, but, you know, I try to continue to work hard and figure out those answers. That sounds like a guy that doesn't want to be picked for DFS tonight. Am I right or am I right?
I have no idea what to do with this game. And I'm being 100% completely honest, because there's some intriguing matchups that I'd love to exploit. Unfortunately, I'm so scared to. Like, we've got two teams going in completely opposite directions. We've got Miami, who's been one of the better teams, and I'm not talking the pseudo second half, the last 10, 15 games. I'm talking like the last 40 games of the season have been, after the rough start, have been. There hasn't been a team that's been hurt by so many injuries that's done so well with them in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it.
I wanted to say, too, by the way, Heat 18-6 against the spread in their last 24 games.
Yeah, and that's just against the spread. That's not outright.
Yeah.
I want to attack Hassan Whiteside with Andre Drummond, but I don't trust Andre Drummond. So in my lineup build on DraftKings, I'll have 50 tonight again. And hopefully I'll be able to actually edit them past, 45 minutes until lock, like I wasn't last night. Luckily I didn't get hurt by any news. I want to attack Andre Drummond so bad, and I want to attack the combination of Ish Smith and whoever else is in that so bad, because, you know, Reggie Jackson could be shut down for the season. He's definitely out tonight, but there's word that he could be shut down for the rest of the season. Now I'm glad that the Thunder didn't sign him, douchebag.
But he did. I believe I just heard it. I think other 1,346 other people who downloaded this just heard it. But okay.
Yeah. Goran Dragic, Tyler Johnson, James Johnson, and here's my question: what are we going to do with the combination of Josh Richardson and Wayne Ellington? Because they're playing a ton of minutes, but Wayne Ellington isn't playing a ton. So I guess I saw that wrong. I guess it's a three-man rotation there with the guards in Miami. It's Tyjo, Dragic, and Josh Richardson. I think, honestly, they're all in play.
Yeah, sure they're in play. Maybe not, the one that you want. I think it's sort of a little bit of a risky situation. Again, too, you're gonna have, the Pistons on the back end of a back to back. Heat also, not on the back end of a back to back, but they do play tomorrow. So, some of these situations might not be as concrete as we think. I feel comfortable fading this, especially, I don't think any of these are. As you like to say, right? If player A or player B beats me, then I'll live with that. Well, I will certainly live with anybody in this game beating me, with the exception of one with one here. Okay, so you had your interest in Andre Drummond, correct?
Yeah.
your interest was in the right direction, my friend. Here's the three games this season, okay, with Drummond against the Heat. So we've got 18 points, 15 rebounds, 4 steals, 4 blocks. That's one game. That's good for 53.5 FanDuel points. We've got a 25-point, 18-rebound game with 2 steals and 2 blocks. That's good for 51.6. And then we've got a 17-point, 21-rebound game, 3 steals, 2 blocks. That's good for 52.7 FanDuel points. All of those, by the way, were good for 55 and change on DraftKings. So, yeah, there's that. But, hey, if they, like they say, fourth time might not be the charm. So be careful.
Yeah, and he just seems disinterested. So,
yeah.
I don't trust the Pistons.
Well, that glorious photo will be on today's Walsh's Way article. So, in your face, cyberspace. All right. Any other interest in this one here?
No. I think I'm going to limit to Heat exposure and maybe a little bit of Andre Drummond. And that's about it.
All right. We have
to talk about him because, you know, he's going to be talked about a lot today. With Reggie Jackson being out or being shut down for the rest of the season.
Ishmael Smith.
I think tonight is a good fade night.
All right. I like it. Okay, let's get to the next one here. I actually really like this game in terms of fantasy production, so I guess we should spend a little bit of time on it. Phoenix Suns at the Atlanta Hawks here. Hawks 7.5-point favorites, minus 335 on the money line. Over-under is 215 in this one. Suns actually won the only meeting this season. That was a two-point winner in Phoenix for them. Four of the last five Hawks-Suns games have gone under the total, but you know that's because they got massive totals. The Suns here on a 8-game losing streak, while the Hawks are on a 7-game losing streak. Something's got to give. No ties in the NBA. And then we're looking at injuries here too. For the Suns, Leandro Barbosa, Ronnie Price, questionable, Dragan Bender, out, Eric Bledsoe, Brandon Knight, Tyson Chandler, all out for the season, being shut down. And then with the Hawks, got a couple injuries here, Paul Millsap, Kent Bazemore, Thabo Sefolosha, all three of those guys are out for tonight. So, yeah, there's that, and that's going to open up a lot of plays here as well. I want to start, we'll start here with the Atlanta Hawks, the home team in this one. Dwight Howard, great spot. Dennis Schroeder, Ersan Ilyasova, Tim Hardaway Jr., Torian Prince. I think I just named the starting five, but all guys are well in play here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games that you can kind of just load up on both ends. I even don't mind. I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Just say it. People love it when you say these things.
The Hawks are literally down to pretty much peanuts right now. Okay? Hello. They are. They've got their starting five, then they've got the combination of Mike Muscala, and Chris Humphreys, and who else? I mean, seriously, like these guys are. I'm going through these backups here, and I mean Mike Scott, maybe he played 12 minutes in a game. Jarrell Eddie plays for Phoenix, so don't need to worry about him. Looked like he was wearing Hawks gear. So, Mike Scott plays for Phoenix too. You know, Mike Dunleavy, Ryan played 17 minutes. Ryan Kelly played no minutes. I mean, I'm sitting here going through them, and DeAndre Bibby played 5 minutes in the Afro. I mean, literally, they've got their starting five. And then who? That's what I'm saying. Jose Calderon? I mean, he played 21 minutes, but he doesn't do anything.
Sure.
I mean, the starting five for the Hawks is going to have to play 35 plus minutes.
Yeah, and you know, the good thing about them too is not many of them. All of them are very reasonably priced. I mean, we've seen tons of these teams playing the Suns lately jump out to ridiculous leads. I know, you know, Brooklyn didn't do it that night. They didn't jump out to a ridiculous lead, but they got there eventually. So these teams are scoring plenty of points. If you look at the defensive efficiency ratings, Phoenix has just been absolutely brutal here over the last couple of games. They're now third worst overall this season. I mean, they were pretty bad, but you know, usually it takes teams like a couple games for their ranking to drop. Phoenix dropped like six spots within like three games, so props to them for that. That's a very tough task to reach. But look, they're playing a Hawks team right now that is not doing well at all. You know, I mentioned the seven-game losing streak. They're also 1-8 against the spread at home this month. That's pathetic. Nine games under 500 against the spread versus teams with a losing record, so they're playing down to their competition. You know, I understand what's up with this Phoenix team, but they could certainly hang with them. You know, Phoenix is, you know, say what you want about them, but they, you know, maybe Devin Booker kept them in that game against Boston a little bit, but they played pretty well against Charlotte the other day for what they have. So, you know, what we have here is a lot of players who aren't going to cost you a lot. They're going to have a lot of opportunity. And, you know, again, I don't think all five guys from the Hawks, like I mentioned in the starting lineup, are going to go off. But, you know, I don't mind going with any of them. I think they're all in very good spots. So, you know, this is probably the place to be tonight. And then when we look at Phoenix, you know, Devin Booker, TJ Warren, Tyler Ulis, Marquise Chris, if you like Payne, you know, all these guys are certainly capable of doing big things. Even Alex Len, Alan Williams. There's just plays all over the joint here. So, again, I'm not backing down off it. This is one of my favorite fantasy games of the night. I mean, not exactly a hot take, but I think when you just look at the two teams, you know, first thing off the schedule, I don't know, but this is a pretty good one. Should be a nice pace matchup too here, with the Suns running the second fastest pace in the league while the Hawks run the 10th fastest pace. Everything's looking good here.
I mean, were we talking about, you know, this not being a good fantasy game? I mean, I'm not being talked off of it. I didn't think I was trying to, but yeah, strong points. I mean, the only thing that scares me about this game is, you know, like we said, the struggles of the Hawks. I mean, I'm willing to take a stand on it and say I think that they could beat Phoenix here and kind of right the ship a little bit. You know, but there's no guarantee. I mean, look, Atlanta's the 5 seed. They're in the playoffs, more than likely. Now, they are only 2 games out. I mean, a lot can shift, but there's three – I mean, you're literally talking three teams are fighting for that 5 seed right now in Indiana, Milwaukee, and Atlanta. It shifts pretty much every night, and they're only 2 games out from missing the playoffs. Okay, so let's not think that they are, you know, a lock. The problem with this is their rotation is so short right now that I mean, somebody's going to come off the bench and have a good game. It's that type of matchup, is it not?
Sure, sure.
I mean... I don't look. You don't have a lot of resistance, defensive resistance in this game tonight because of the fact that Kent Bazemore and Thabo Sefolosha are both out. Taryn Prince is not, you know, what we would call a good defender. Dwight Howard. The only people that I probably would not go to is probably the Alan Williams, Alex Len game, okay, or spot, just because Dwight Howard is probably the best defender on the court right now. And that's both sides, by the way. Everybody else, I think, is in play, though.
All right. Let's get to another golden fantasy game. My neck of the woods here. Philly 76ers at the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Nets 2.5-point favorites in this one. -150 on the money line. Over under 224.5. And you know when the Nets are favored, your ears perk up a little because it rarely happens. 76ers have won both meetings this season. One was a 1-point win in Philly, the other a 10-point win at Brooklyn. 9 of the last 10 Sixers games have gone under the total. Philly, very good against the spread. One of the best teams, ATS, in the NBA this season. 14 games over 500 against the spread as an underdog. 11 games over 500 against the spread versus teams with a losing record. 10 games over 500 against the spread after a loss of 10 or more points. And 18-8 against the spread in their last 26 games. Very good for them. Let's talk about the injuries here. Jahlil Okafor and Gerald Henderson both already ruled out for the Sixers. For the Nets, Sean Kilpatrick probable to play tonight, his first game in a while, and Joe Harris remains out with the shoulder injury. Let's talk about the Sixers because I think the injuries there have, you know, a little bit to do with who we can play tonight. With Okafor out, typically means that we can go to Holmes. But even more in this situation, I do like the Dario Saric, Robert Covington aspect. They're going to see more shots with that Okafor in the lineup. I mean, I already know how you feel about Robert Covington because you like him more than Paul George. But Dario, can we go here?
Yeah. I mean, Dario. just a hot take. Just kind of stack this game up. I mean, you can go Dario Saric, you can go Robert Covington, which means that we're not going to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who's been playing pretty well. You can go to Brook Lopez, you can go to
what was that?
I'm trying to think. I guess I
so
don't even mind.
Down an imaginary ice cream cone? What was that?
No, I'm trying. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I don't even mind a KJ McDaniels if you need to go that way.
Yay! You know, I'm starting to come around on the fella, but we'll talk about him in a little bit.
Yeah, and then I actually have no interest in any point guards in this matchup.
Yeah, that's fine. Both, you know, Jeremy Lin's actually played some pretty good defense since coming back.
Oh, wait, I didn't know he was active. I'm sorry. I do have interest in Jeremy Lin.
Okay. Yeah, you know, his matchup against McConnell isn't the greatest, but this is a good tempo matchup that we're talking about here. Brooklyn runs the fastest pace in the NBA while the Sixers run the fifth fastest pace. So, you know, I guess aside from Rockets, Warriors tonight, this is the second best one of the night. Yeah, I really like Dario Saric tonight. I think a lot of people will probably spend up for Draymond Green, you know, just because he's in that high-profile matchup there against the Rockets. What sort of price differential do we have on DraftKings between those two?
Who are this?
Dario Saric and Draymond Green. Actually, well, on FanDuel, it's only a matter of $400, but
it is $400 as well.
Interesting. All right, so you know, it's, I guess this one would be more of an ownership. I would see the masses probably going to Draymond there before Dario. Keep in mind, Dario's matchup is going to be against Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, more of a pain in the ass than an actual good defender. Yeah, this is his second year in the NBA. So, you know, not anybody that we should be scared to go up against. Speaking of Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on the other side, three straight games of at least 30 FanDuel points for him, at least 13 rebounds in two of those games as well. He's been playing awesome here down the stretch, so glad to see that from one of our former first-round draft picks. Actually, he was acquired for Mason Plumlee when that deal went down. Yeah, there's a lot to like in this one. The fact of Sean Kilpatrick coming back, that's probably going to take a little food off the plate of Caris LeVert. Yeah, a couple guys in that second unit. Trevor Booker might see a couple fewer shots, but he'll still be getting the rebounds and whatnot. So,
I think I don't know what I want to do with Trevor Booker. And the reason is I don't like his – I don't like the way he's been playing lately. His price is attractive. His price is tempting. But, I mean, maybe you can answer this. Why did he play 3 minutes against Washington?
I was actually out food shopping that night, so I did not see that one. But I will say, you know, the resurgence here of Rondae Hollis-Jefferson definitely has something to do with it. They like the way Hollis-Jefferson's been playing. He's been playing down the stretch where you might have seen Booker down the stretch. You know, the thing that's weird for the Nets, right? Like, yeah, they want to win these games, build up some chemistry for next season, but they also want to see what they have on their roster. So I think they've seen what they've seen out of Trevor Booker this season already. Like, he's a nice spark plug. He's going to, you know, do all the gritty things that you need to get some of those, like, 1-2 point victories. But I mean, they already know what they got there from him, so there's no reason to really run him out there for a ton of minutes.
Then there's no reason for us to really run him out there for our DFS lineups, is there?
No, there isn't.
Okay, good. Glad we agree.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay. Yeah, we can. I mean, it's For there being such a for this being such so attractive, I just don't. I don't have a lot of extreme love in this game. I think Sean Long is a trap. He's not Min Salary anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my gosh. I want to go back to Rashawn Holmes here so bad. And I think this is a good spot to do it because I think people are going to see the game logs and go, oh, Sean Long, he's taking minutes away from Rashawn Holmes. Yeah, Rashawn Holmes isn't playing 38 minutes a game anymore, you know, especially with Saric out there as well. But it's not like Sean Long is playing, you know, 35 minutes a game either. So I don't know. Sean Long has been the beneficiary of a high fantasy point per minute. We don't know if this is him yet. And I don't want, especially our subs here, it feels like he's too popular now. Does that make sense?
Sure.
We've talked about it a lot with a lot of our guys. You know, when people are popular, when they're going to end up becoming chalk, I don't want anything to do with it because they still have a very, very high bust rate. And Sean Long just kind of feels like a trap. So,
yes, indeed. Don't forget, you know, the Nets, they give up a ridiculous amount of rebounds. If I'm not mistaken, they allow the most rebounds to their opponents in the NBA. I got to check on that stat. If they don't give up the most, they're right around that area. But, yeah, I think that's a fine way to go. I think Holmes will be fine. Long bust, sure, I could see that, but I just worry about him even getting on the court. You know, I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that I really haven't watched that much.
So I'm gonna have to go back and look at Popcorn Machine to see if this was if he just played sparingly during the first parts of it, and if he got a lot of that run and blowouts.
So Sunday's game, I wasn't even really paying attention to NBA on Sunday, but yeah, he had the 23 minutes.
Who does?
He double-doubled there. And then, yeah, against Chicago in that blowout game, he ended up getting 19 minutes. So yeah, he was able to strut his stuff in that blowout. They put him back out there against the Pacers. So interesting. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I might have seen Sean Long play maybe 2 minutes this season. And that entire 2 minutes, I was trying to research who he was, and I wasn't even really watching. So that's fine.
So here's the deal with Sean Long. He is basically – he plays when Rashawn Holmes isn't. He came in at the 325-minute mark left in the first quarter. Played 325 and 652. So a 10-minute, 30-second stint. And then didn't see the court. He saw the court for the last minute, 43 seconds of that first half. But that was because Rashawn Holmes had picked up his second personal foul. And then didn't see the court until there were about 73 seconds left in the first half, or in the third quarter. And it looks like they pulled him when they pulled Dario Saric for the game. Or they put him back in when they pulled Dario Saric for the game. So he's basically the third wheel of that three-man rotation. And that was when the game was firmly out of hand by that time. So it's a little bit of, which you would say, garbage time. But, you know, he's definitely the Rashawn Holmes backup. So his minutes are not secure. He could play 15. He could play 23. It just kind of depends on the game flow.
Gotcha. One guy I meant we didn't get to, but KJ McDaniels.
I got to him.
Yeah, I know. I said we're going to get a little more in depth to him here, but I'm so glad that I was wrong about him because, I mean, look, I've seen him play on a couple different NBA teams and it hasn't worked out well. You know, his first couple games with the Nets, you know, I guess I can understand it just because, you know, new team, new settings, all that kind of things. But there is a little bit of revenge narrative here because KJ McDaniels was actually drafted by the 76ers. You know, he's had some decent point totals here. I think on DraftKings he might be right near the minimum, but FanDuel he's at 3,800. Scored double digits the last four games, played at least 20 minutes. That's all great and grand. You know, the one big game that he had, you got to keep in mind, he was playing Phoenix, and Phoenix, you know, it was basically five orange parking cones out there that night. So keep that in mind.
That's all as it is always usually with the Phoenix Suns.
But no, I will say, like, McDaniels has been playing very well of late in the minutes that he's been getting, and looks like he can have himself a spot on the Nets roster next season. He, if you remember at the deadline, he basically just got traded straight up, like, for nothing, for no one.
I thought it was cash.
Well, you know, that's where I was going. He got traded for money, not an actual human being or a draft pick, so that was a nice move there at the deadline. All right, let's move it. Next game, the game of the night, Golden State Warriors at the Houston Rockets. Rockets 1-point favorites in this one, -120 on the money line, 234 is our total. Teams have split the season series, both teams winning on each other's home court. Warriors are actually 16-3 against the Rockets in their last 19 meetings. Warriors have covered 13 of those 19 games. 12 of the last 19 Rockets-Warriors games have gone under the total. Warriors playing very well right now. They are on a 7-game winning streak. And then the Rockets, you know, they're going to have Ryan Anderson out for this one. But in terms of betting numbers here, 11-2 against the spread versus the Pacific Division and 19-7 against the spread on Tuesday nights over the last three seasons. You know how I love my days of the week, Keith. You know. And I believe the listeners do too by now. All right. Look, game of the night, total of 234. Let's just have the laundry list of people that are in play here.
Everybody? Except for James Harden.
Oh, smoke show. Okay. Explain yourself.
Well, James Harden is the most expensive player on the board.
Right.
And true. It's something that could backfire, but he did not look like that wrist. That wrist has got to be bothering him, right? I mean, he was down for a while. He fell on it hard. I was watching that game. It was not something that was, oh, let's just shake it off and go from there. No. This one was he had it wrapped. Like, he came out of the game. Like, the game was still in question against Oklahoma City on Sunday. It was a 6-point lead with just over a minute left to go. The game was still up in air if Oklahoma City hadn't made some stupid mistakes. Now, he probably could have came back in. I'm not sure. But he went straight over to the bench, and they wrapped it up in ice. Now, it's probably a little bit of maintenance just to make sure that he wasn't swelling or anything, but I'm willing to take a shot.
Gotta protect the most valuable asset. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely 100% agree. You know, but I'm willing to take a shot with Clay guarding him most of the time. And I think that this becomes like a Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Clint Capella. I think Harden does a little bit more facilitating than he does actual scoring. That's just kind of my, you know, take on it. It could blow up in my face. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But, that's just kind of the way I'm going.
But hold on, before you go on, I have to mention how right I was about something. So do you remember, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I definitely said it in the Slack chat channel. But I have a friend, his name also Keith, in the Houston area. He's a big club promoter out there, right? So I see on his Instagram there that they have a welcome. I did say this on the podcast. I remember. Lou Williams was having a welcome to Houston party on Friday night. Now, by the way, that also comes a month after he's been in Houston, but the first game after he has that welcome to Houston party, I mean, he seems to be good back in good graces. So whatever Keith and the people did over there at his club, I think they got Lou very acclimated to the city of Houston finally.
Yeah, he
just saying.
He.
So. New narrative. When somebody has a welcome to town party, next game, boom.
Boom. There we go. We got to add that in the commandments.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Harden is expensive, which is fine. He's worth every penny of it. But, you know, if this was Sunday and this was against Oklahoma City, we would have said to either play Harden or Westbrook, but not to play Harden and Westbrook in the same lineup. Why? Because we have talked about on multiple occasions that Harden and Westbrook have never gone for over 55 FanDuel points in the same game. I'd rather have Klay Thompson just because Klay's got a quicker shot. He doesn't rely on driving and dishing and getting to the free throw line. Yes, he relies more on scoring than anybody else, but I've got, you know, James Harden's got other guys that can score. It's just more of a, if James Harden's under 11K, then yeah, I can make a little bit more of a, you know, case form, but I can't do it. Not with the projected ownership, not with, I mean, I'd rather go to Curry, you know, Draymond. It's more of a strategic move to me than it is anything else. So
let me ask you something. I'm gonna have to ask you to go back to your mental library here for a second. But was Patrick Beverley on Klay Thompson in the previous meetings this season?
He was at one point. They switch a lot.
Yeah, because Klay Thompson's numbers against the Rockets this season have not been good at all. But I'm wondering, because I know part of that too, you know, Klay was in a really bad slump at one point. So I know the first meeting was at that, you know, while Klay was in that slump. But I was wondering the other time too. I'm going to go back and watch this. I'll have the answer in the article today. But I would not be surprised to see that. And then you see Curry on Harden on Curry.
I think it might have been a little bit because they played at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to look and see when. Okay, so the last time they played was January 20th. and Kevin Durant was in the lineup. Because that was when Golden State went through the murderer's row of Cleveland, Oklahoma City, and Houston in the span of 5 days. And the Houston was the only road game. And then, so yeah, Kevin Durant has been in the lineup all three games. And two of them have been at Oracle, and one of them has been in Houston. So, yeah. They've only played twice.
That is correct.
Okay, so why did I say three?
Today's the third, and then they play again on Friday.
Yeah.
Do you think that has any factor? The fact that they play Friday, maybe both teams don't want to show each other their full hand, or am I just being an asshole here?
I think you're just being an asshole.
Okay.
Because I mean,
I think you just wanted the opportunity to call me an asshole. But, you know, fair enough.
Well, I mean, look at this is Golden State's next four games. Okay.
Right.
At Houston, at San Antonio tomorrow.
Oh man.
They go home for Houston on Friday, and Sunday they get Washington.
Wow.
Now these are the next five games that they finish off the season with. After that Washington game, Minnesota, Phoenix, New Orleans, Utah, and the Lakers. Wow. And the only game that's on the road is at Phoenix.
Okay.
You don't think that the schedule makers and the NBA actually like having Golden State at home towards the end of the season?
Yeah, but I mean, well, look what the schedule makers did for the Warriors this week, you know, just having that. And then now this is going to be the second time that they face the Spurs in San Antonio on the back end of a back-to-back. If the Warriors really want to take that matchup, it's possible they could give some of these guys an extra blow tonight, or they just completely rest them tomorrow. So,
oh my God, you got to be kidding! Sorry,
what you got?
Chris Middleton missed shoot around with a stomach virus.
Dun dun dun! I don't know if you've realized this. So, well, it was Kyle Hendricks of the Cubs the other day. He had tacos in Arizona and. He had, I don't know, I saw it on Roto World, but when are these professional athletes going to learn that tacos and playing a professional sport just do not mix? I mean, I'm not a professional athlete, so I could eat tacos and feel like crap whenever I want, but if I had to be active and, you know, and do that, I would definitely take a rain check on the tacos.
Yeah, I don't think I would be eating tacos at spring training, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I mean,
these are major leaguers. You can go get yourself a nice, you know, filet mignon prime rib dinner. I'm sure they got some joints out there. You know,
or just a nice little protein shake and get the shits that way.
Sure. Chicken salad, always good.
Yeah, exactly. With some balsamic vinaigrette dressing.
That's not bad.
Ooh, I'm more of a raspberry balsamic vinaigrette. Ooh, I'm making myself
I'm more
hungry.
Of
we gotta
move on. A honey mustard Dijon sort of guy myself, but that's
some Grey Poupon.
Yeah. I watched Wayne's World the other day.
There you go.
So yeah, I mean, look, there are tons of plays in this game. I would be very cautious. Just keep an eye out for what's going on around lineup lock because you know this Warrior schedule this week is not doing them any favors. So it could be tonight. Probably going to be tomorrow where we see a guy or two sit or all of them sit. And, you know, that's another thing, too. Teams, I think the Cavaliers even last night going up against San Antonio, God forbid they have to face San Antonio in the finals. You know, maybe they didn't want to show their full hand to them because, I mean, look, we've seen Cleveland lay an egg at Golden State. We saw them lay an egg last night against the Spurs.
Gamesmanship. It's just like John Gray going out against the Giants the other day, coming out with a quote-unquote toe injury, but only throwing fastballs and cutters.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need to be throwing all those fancy pitches in spring training. Come on.
Well, not only that, but not against a divisional opponent that you're going to play 18 times. Right. Here's the deal. I've got a couple. I got a birdie in my ear that has hinted around to the possibility of some Warriors not participating tomorrow.
Okay.
And then kind of loading up on those last four games with a certain former MVP and four-time scoring champion coming back right around the last 3 to 4 games of the season to get in the mode for playoffs.
Oh, my. That would be something.
Nothing is set in stone, and I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't happen, but from everything that I've heard, he has been working extremely hard in practices.
He's a gamer.
Now, I don't know if that's full contact yet, but he has been putting up shots and quote unquote working up a sweat.
That was my working up a
sweat
sound.
Oh, congratulations, Jorge De La Rosa.
He got so proud to the of Phillies?
Him. No, he has made the Arizona Diamondbacks starting rotation.
Woohoo! The amount of people that cared in the world.
Hey, I care because he's, you know, of his history going back to Colorado. But
fair. Oh no.
Yeah. What's so, but that's the Warriors schedule. I'm gonna leave the rest of our analysis to our subs because I think this is a game that's either gonna win you or make you or break you in tournaments tonight.
I dig it. Fantastic idea. All right, next game on the docket. Two more games left to get to. So actually, this is a really cool two-game slate that you can toy around with tonight. Denver Nuggets at the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers, two-point favorites in this one, minus 120 on the money line, 223 total at 223.5 total, down 3 points from the 226.5 that it opened up at. This is a major, major game, a game of major implications. The two teams are tied for the eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Blazers lead the season series 2-1. They are also 9-2 against the Nuggets in their last 11 meetings, but have only covered 5 of those. 9 of the last 11 Blazers-Nuggets games have gone over the total. Only injury in this one, Ed Davis out for the season with the shoulder injury for the Blazers. Everybody healthy for the Nuggets in this one. We got revenge galore. We got narrative galore. We've got galore. We've got it all, my friends. Let's start out with Damian Lillard. He's averaged 31 points per game since the All-Star break, second to your boy. But, you know, the big thing here is we've seen this matchup work plenty of times, point guards against the Nuggets. And in the biggest game of both team seasons up to this point, I got to think he's going to show up in this one.
I do believe, if my sources are correct,
the internet,
that, yes, they are exactly tied in every aspect for the 8th seed, and that includes the tiebreaker. I think that they have split the series 1-1 so far this season. I'm looking here.
You know what's interesting, too, while you pull that up? The Blazers have 7 home games remaining, while the Nuggets have 7 road games remaining.
Yeah, the Nuggets have the toughest schedule in the NBA to close out the season. Like, That's not a secret to anybody that's been kind of following the NBA. The Trailblazers are kind of on a roll, obviously. You know, they've won 3 in a row, 6 of the last 7, 9 of the last 11. You know, I mean,
right.
Ever since the calendar turned March against Oklahoma City, they've lost 1, 2, 3 games. So for everything that was hindering their season in February and January, March has come around and it's completely just gone berserk.
Let me ask you something. You got a personal favorite in this race? Would you rather see the Blazers or the Nuggets in the playoffs?
Considering that the Thunder wouldn't play either of them in the playoffs, probably. I'd rather see the Nuggets. If I'm talking about a Thunder fan, but Because the Portland Trailblazers with Yusef Nurkic scared the freaking hell out of me.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I'd rather see the Blazers, and I think it would be sweet, sweet irony since the Nuggets thought they were fleecing the Blazers in this deal. And but the Blazers, since they've got Yusef Nurkic, 12-6, Nurkic is averaging a triple double with the Blazers. So
I'd like to see the Nuggets in the playoffs so we could take advantage of going into Denver on during DFS. But
yeah, is it? But you know, these teams typically have 3 days off in the first round. So
true. I forgot about that. So never mind. Because we know the Nuggets, even if they get to the first round, aren't going to be taking advantage of it. You know, you're talking about a first round matchup with either the Spurs or the Warriors. So
yeah,
I'd rather see the Trailblazers. I think that they could put up a bigger fight against the Warriors or the Spurs than the Nuggets could. The Nuggets are a quote unquote hot mess right now. Besides Nikola Jokic, they don't have anybody that they're going to keep around. At least that they've, really said that somebody wants to be there. I mean, we heard Wilson Chandler talk about he wanted out. There's been rumors of Danilo Gallinari leaving. They need a point guard. The only one that they really have is Jamal Murray. Oh, by the way, these are all guys you can play tonight in DFS.
Yeah.
You could literally, on FanDuel, you could literally talk around or, narrow this down to like a 4-game slate.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Golden State, Houston, Philly, Brooklyn, Washington, LA, and Phoenix, Atlanta, and Portland, Denver. So you make it a 5-game slate and boom.
Sure. Sure, as if. I told you I watched Wayne's World the other day.
Wait, what?
The Sphincter said what?
The Rockets are appointing. Oh, never mind. But I read that wrong. Sorry.
Confusing myself. All right, so I think we know the big names are in play here. One thing I got to say about the Nuggets, and we've talked about this, with Danilo Gallinari back in the lineup, he's definitely taking food off of everybody's plate. These are still some pretty good matchups against the Nuggets. I mean, this is going to be ridiculous Battle of the Titans here with, Nurkic against Jokic. Oh, goodness. Who gets the upper hand in this one?
Nurkic?
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning him.
Not that Jokic is not capable of holding his own, but... Nurkic is a much better defender.
Or is it possible that both of these idiots pick up two fouls within the first 2 minutes?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So if that's the question, do you just fade both of them and play Mason Plumlee?
It could work. It could definitely work.
Oh man. I think Plumlee's in play too. His price is kind of depressed. He's not going to play more than 22 minutes, I don't think. He might be lucky to get to 20. I don't know. I think a lot of these guys are in play. I'm not playing, it might be easier to talk about who isn't in play here.
All right.
Let's see here. Emmanuel Mudiay is not in play. Wow. Shabazz Napier is not in play. I don't think Maurice Harkless is in play.
Fire lately.
He hasn't had to do a lot. He's been in more there. He's been more in the lineup more for defensive purposes. But he hasn't, ever since Evan Turner came back. There's another guy. I don't think the combination of Maurice Harkless, Evan Turner are in play. Now you could go down to Noah Vonleh, who has been playing a lot better. He's been playing close to 26 to 30 minutes. You could even go to Alfred Camino, who's been playing a lot better and has been playing close to 26 to 30 minutes as well. They're both underpriced. Wancho's not in play. And that's about it, guys.
How about Gary Harris last two games? Only a combined 29 FanDuel points.
Yeah, and but two, I think that has more to do with his shot not falling.
And two of the easier matchups out there, but yeah, give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. You know, Harris is kind of one of those guys that you've got to. He's got to have it. He's gonna do other things, but why did he only have? Oh yeah, he shot 5 for 12 against New Orleans. They got run out of the building.
Oh, yeah.
In that game.
Looking ahead to the Blazers.
He only had one assist. It's really been the peripherals that he hasn't been able to put up. You know, when he contributes in the rebounds, assists, and steals column and is shooting, you know, 14 to 18 plus times, then yeah, he's a good option. You know, Will Barton's going to put up his shots. I mean, these are all tournament plays. I do kind of think, you know, Jamal Murray's gotten, you know, more run lately. Guys, got to remember, this is Mike Malone. He's not going to, you know, really, really, really give. He's going to ride with the hot hand. It could be Wilson Chandler that has the hot hand. It could be Nikola Jokic that has the hot hand. It could be, you know, Mason Plumlee. He's rolled out Kenneth Faried in back-to-back games, you know, 16 and 20 minutes. You know, and he's put up some numbers.
I personally think the man is on drugs, but that's just me.
Who, Mike Malone?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like hell, Mason Plumlee could.
Not like he smokes a joint a day, you know. No, he is on the good shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, he does kind of reside in Denver, Colorado. So.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, there's options there.
So was that your initiative that marijuana is a gateway drug?
It is, in my opinion, but I'm not getting into. I'm not getting into the lost ethics of, you know, gateway drugs and everything.
Fine, whatever. All right, we all done with this one to go to the grand finale?
I don't know how grand it's going to be, but yeah, sure.
Well, it's the last game. I got to call it that.
How about you just call it the finale?
The finale. We'll take a trip out to La La Land where the Wizards take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Wizards 9-point favorites in this one, -450 on the money line, over under 226 in this one. Wizards won the only meeting this season, an 8-point win at the phone booth in D.C., Verizon Center. And the Wizards are 4-1 against the Lakers in their last 5 meetings, but have only covered 2 of those games. No major injuries for the Wizards, and Brandon Ingram is doubtful tonight with a knee injury. Let's start with the Wizards here, since they'll probably be the one putting shoes on the behind. So John Wall was pretty awesome the other night, eh? This looks like a fantastic spot for all these guys, of course, as they're playing the Lakers. So anyone in particular that you got interest in?
I'm trying to decide if I have to use John Wall as a block on FanDuel or not.
Oh.
I mean, I've talked about it. I don't like playing John Wall over 10K.
Right.
I'm not playing D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson tonight, though.
Okay.
We've talked about it. Washington's actually been sneaky good against the point guard position this year. I'm not playing either one of them. You know, but John Wall, all of a sudden, after putting up, you know, he's going to be highly owned because he's going up against the Lakers. Because I think in tournaments, I'm going to stick to it and just kind of go with everybody else other than the point guards. I think my point guards are going to come out of other games and not this one.
Look, anybody on the Wizards is a good play here. Bojan Bogdanović probably going to see a couple extra minutes if the Wizards do what they intend to do, which is whoop some tush. And if we're talking about the Lakers here, I don't mind.
Is he going to play?
I believe. Yeah. I
don't, he didn't play. Was, he didn't play against Cleveland. That's why I'm asking.
I think that was rest. Back end of a back-to-back. Okay. And he had like his best game in forever against the Nets the night before.
Okay.
But yeah, he should be fine to go tonight. And if we're talking about the Lakers, I don't mind some Julius Randle here. Again, power forwards against the Wizards. It's been a very profitable target. I want to look and see what some of these projections say throughout the day on Randle, but he is the type of guy that could do well against the Wizards in this one. So, you know, he's going to be going up against a very, very, very lazy Markieff Morris. So he could take advantage of that, but I am a little scared that the Lakers are 9-point underdogs in this one, not really boding well for them. So, I mean, my interest is going to be limited here, but it's probably going to be all on the Wizards side of things. With Brandon Ingram doubtful, I think, didn't Corey Brewer have a nice performance lately?
Yes, he did. He's had a couple, actually. It's been the return and resurgence of Corey Brewer. Now, one of them is a little misleading because of the fact that it was like, you know, the last it was the one against Minnesota. He came in and literally scored 12 straight points.
Good for him.
And he hadn't seen hardly any run that whole game. And then he only played 19 minutes. I can't go to Corey Brewer here. I'd rather play Meta World Peace. It's not that. It's just I don't think Corey Brewer's not going to be the guy that's gonna win you a tournament. I'd rather play Julius Randle. Vika Zubox, Jan Mahinmi, I think is now in play again. You know, that game against Cleveland just got out of hand, and they just rested a bunch of guys. Jason Smith, I think, is a good option.
Yeah, he's been sneakily good for value there if you need a salary saver.
Yeah, so.
All right, that's all I got. Anything else on this one before we go?
No, I just this game, for as much love as it's going to get around the DFS industry today, I just don't see it. I mean, Bradley Beal is 7,800. He's expensive. I would rather load up in that Denver Portland game than I would Washington LA.
Okay. All right. Let's get ourselves out of here for today. Once again, if you're not joined up with us yet, make sure you do so, dfsarmy.com. You can use the promo code podcast to get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. Lots of great tools there. The Domination Station, if you don't have time to do research during the day, builds up to 150 lineups. It's truly a work of art. You got the Slack chat channel where you got me, Keith, Taco, Kevin, Chopadong, all the guys on there that you see on Twitter, Syracuse, even, who's been very active lately. All of us are in there on the DFS Slack chat, so make sure you check that out. And also, too, if you like this podcast, you're going to love Taco's podcast. He just did that for the Shell Houston Open, which is going to be starting on Thursday. So definitely check that out. That's a good listen. I was listening to some of it before. It gets my thumbs up approval. And Keith, anything to close us out today?
No, I'm ready for baseball. I'm ready for baseball. Like, this is the longest that basketball has kept my attention. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, our responsibilities now. But I am so ready for baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be certainly a good one. All right, so for me, Keith, the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.